Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy today, covering the president's speech. Special coverage tonight of his health care speech to a joint session of Congress. I will be in all week long, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, and Mike and Kathy will be back on Monday. So we are, I appreciate you truth seekers putting up with me till then. We will be joined momentarily by Dave Johnson of Seeing the Forest. I've got my color man, my wingman right here, Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com in studio. A couple of facts we need to clear up. Of course, what's getting the headlines, and of course we are to fault because we're also giving it the headline, is this jackass Congressman Joe Wilson from South Carolina, who yelled out, "You lie!" in the middle of the speech on the House floor. Yes, he has apologized for it, but it has caused much discussion about whether the any of these bills, take your pick, will actually pay for immigrants, illegal immigrants, to have health care on the federal dole. Well, we had a caller who said, oh, go look at H.R. 3200. Well, in fact, Section 246 of H.R. 3200 says, this is a section titled, No Federal Payment for Undocumented Aliens. So you get an idea what it's about. It says, nothing in this subtitle shall allow federal payments for affordability credits on behalf of individuals who are not lawfully present in the United States. Seems pretty damn clear to me. Now, that sets aside the idea of whether undocumented folks actually deserve health care. I would suggest they do. Howie, earlier you made a good point that if your child is going to school with someone, whether they're undocumented or not, and they've got the swine flu, you'd probably like them to get treatment, I'm thinking. So never mind whether it's right or wrong. It's pretty damn clear here in this H.R. 3200, which is the bill that that caller referred us to, the section entitled No Federal Payment for Undocumented Aliens.
But it doesn't
clear enough.
The loons are angry because it doesn't say that there's a way to punish them if they try to get it, or if a doctor treats them or tries to get reimbursed or something, then they don't go to jail or there's not a sentence. You know, they'll never be satisfied. You know,
and not only that, Howie, but if that was a serious concern, Obama talked about if you have legitimate concerns, bring them to me. He said, quote, my door is always open.
They're obstructionists. They don't want to cooperate. They don't want a place at the table. All they want to do is obstruct. That's been their only legislative agenda and their only strategy. You know, they had this.
And do you think for a second, Howie, that if, you know, they did come in and say, oh, we're worried that there's no enforcement here, but if you put it in, we'll be happy to support the bill. In a second, they would add that. Of course.
You know, they had Bustani, this fool from Louisiana, give the official Republican response today.
Yes.
But you know what the real response was? The real response today was from Joe Wilson. That was the real Republican response when he yelled out liar.
Liar.
That
yeah.
was the Republican response.
All right.
And that's what Obama is talking about when he's so frustrated that he can't get any kind of cooperation from these guys. Earlier I told you that Senator David Vitter,
yes.
the guy who was caught in the sex problem with the prostitutes, sent out a tweet a little while ago. I'm going to read it now.
Yeah.
How about this? Just left Obama speak, disappointed. He's not listening. Louisiana doesn't want big government option. Well, that's just what they said when FDR tried to pass Social Security. They don't want a big government. They don't want Social Security. That's why they voted against it. They don't want Medicare. The conservatives don't want anything that helps working people. That's the way they are. They want to stick with the status quo. They want to support elites. They don't want any vision of a road towards equality for working families. And that would be David Vitter, and that would be the Republican Party, and that would be conservatives.
And two-thirds of the folks who watched the speech, according to, I believe that was CNN, said they liked the speech tonight. And Obama, during the speech, said, I am not the first president. This is speaking to your point here, Howie. I am not the first president to take up this cause, but I am determined to be the last. It has now been nearly a century since Theodore Roosevelt first called for health care reform. Fair enough. I might be optimistic that he's going to be the last, But the point is, yeah, they've been the Republicans have been putting out the same crap, like David Vitter there, long before there was Twitter. They've been putting out the same garbage. Let me get to PC in St. Pete, Florida. I appreciate you holding for so long there, PC. I'm going to get to Dave Johnson in a second. PC, welcome to the Molloy Show. Oh, do I have? Oh, there we go. Sorry.
How you all doing tonight?
We're okay, PC. What's up?
I'm going to be completely honest, and I'm not going to be willfully, wishfully thinking here. But it appears to me, stop and logically analyze his speech like my wife and I did.
Yeah.
And he made it perfectly clear that he wants a mandate. And when he was campaigning against Hillary Clinton, okay, he pulled away from her because the young people and the people that don't want a forced mandate to buy too expensive private racketeering health insurance, don't want one for a good reason. So then he really lied about that, and he's
let me be clear, PC. Let me be clear because your phone's not great. What did he lie about? Short term,
he said during the campaign that he would not have a mandate. He would not go along for a mandate to force us to buy health insurance. He says it was against his principles, and you can go back and check me on this. This is a fact.
No, I think you're right because Hillary Clinton was in favor of the mandate. Yes. Obama was not, correct?
And Obama pulled away from her because he wasn't for that. So here's what this is doing. He's trying to steer this thing. He's trying to appease the corporate Republicans and the insurance lobby and all these people he's made deals with in secret with the drug companies. And this is the bill that they said at December that the big health insurance companies wanted.
Thanks.
The ones that spent over $375 million. And he didn't stand and say, I will not sign a bill unless it has a public option. He made a point of saying that there will be no federal money used for the public option that will be in if it's in. He didn't say it was going to be guaranteed, and he didn't say he'd veto it if it wasn't in there. He made it clear, though, there wouldn't be any federal money going for that. It would have to stand alone on its own. He also said that people that have insurance cannot get the public option. If you've got insurance now, you're stuck with it. You're stuck with the corporate garbage. And these people keep talking about pre-existing conditions, how wonderful it is he's going to take that out. But the devil's in the details. He didn't say that we're not going to let them charge an exorbitant price to people that have a pre-existing condition if they have to be kept by the insurance company. And he also never said one thing about the premium increases, the double-digit premium increases since George Bush was in, and the premium increases that were a higher percentage when Bill Clinton was in from 93 to 2000.
All right.
So this guy, listen, guys, listen to me. Let's deal with reality. We got the momentum in the people here, and the media, my wife and I have been watching all the media, and they're all saying the same thing. The mainstream media is saying he's got to leave out the public option. So Obama is letting us down. He never put single payer on the table. It's just like Nancy never put impeachment on the table. These people are frauds.
Thank you,
PC. I'm not going to go along with this.
Okay, good job. I don't disagree with you. Thanks for the call, PC, and thanks for holding so long. Much appreciated. Howie?
He made a lot of good points there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't agree with everything he said, and I don't agree necessarily with the direction that he was taking it.
Right.
But he's right about his analysis of what Obama left out and what he didn't talk about. And like I said earlier to you, Brad, the fact that corporate America, the corporations rule America, is an underlying problem in this and in everything else, and it's the real root of all of these problems. And he didn't go after it. And when he said, you know, I don't want to destroy the corporations, I don't want to destroy the insurance industry because they have a role, he's wrong. They don't have a role. They have no role. There's no value add from the insurance companies. Zero. Not a thing. They take out billions and billions of dollars from our healthcare system, and they offer nothing in return. Nothing positive. Plenty of negative.
I don't disagree with you. Over in the bradblog.com chat room, some folks have been saying the same thing there. Throw it out. Go back to Kucinich's HR 676.
Yes.
Single payer. Just doesn't seem to be a reality. Obama pretty much threw it right under the bus today. saying, do you have that handy, Tony? Or we have to go look for that, to where he talked about single payer. On the left wants the single payer.
In the very beginning.
In the very beginning, yeah, I think we got that. Play that for us quick, then we'll go to a break.
There are those on the left who believe that the only way to fix the system is through a single payer system like Canada's, where we would severely restrict the private insurance market and have the government provide coverage for everybody. On the right, there are those who argue that we should end employer-based systems and leave individuals to buy health insurance on their own. I have to say that there are arguments to be made for both these approaches. But either one would represent a radical shift that would disrupt the health care most people currently have. Since health care represents one-sixth of our economy, I believe it makes more sense to build on what works and fix what doesn't, rather than try to build an entirely new system from scratch.
Well, there goes throwing him under the bus, frankly, throwing single payer under the bus, equating with a crazy right-wing thing. That's the way it goes. I don't see single payer happening unless somebody raises some hell. Brad Friedman in from Mike Malloy. Dave Johnson from Commonweal Institute is going to be joining us in a second. Howie Klein sticking with us. Much more straight ahead. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad in for Malloy. We're talking about the president's health care speech tonight. Getting lots and lots of opinions. I don't think we're finding any one particular thing we can agree on. Although, if you trust CNN, and they are the most trusted name in news, they say that 2/3 of the people who watched the speech tonight liked it. They said that, where's that number? 72%, I think, thought that Obama was clear. They understood what he said, what he spelled out. So Howie Klein, who's here in studio with me, maybe we're just too picky. Maybe we're just too wonky.
No, tomorrow Fox will confuse them, and Lou Dobbs will confuse them, and everyone will confuse them, and those 72% will turn into 27%.
Here to unconfuse us, I want to bring in Dave Johnson of seeingtheforest.com. He's also a fellow of mine at the Commonweal Institute. He's Commonweal Institute Fellow, focusing on the relationship between corporations, labor, and democracy. He's also a fellow with the Campaign for America's Future. You're a lot of fellows, Dave. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Brad? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for jumping in tonight. I want to get your quick impressions here, because we've got a lot of callers. We want to keep you on and get your thoughts for the rest of the hour if you want to stick around. Your quick impressions on the president's speech tonight.
Well, I hope you noticed how we had him change the end of his speech to go along with what I was going to come on and talk about tonight. So that was a pretty good deal we did there.
No, I did not. How did we change the end of his speech, Dave?
We're going to talk about government and values a little bit. So, So I called up and got them to change the end of the speech to do a rousing support of what government is supposed to be about. And I really appreciated that he did that. I was one of those people who was getting pretty darned upset with feeling like progressives might be getting betrayed here. I thought he did a solid support and explanation of what the public option is and what it's about for regular citizens. I'm very happy with the speech, I have to say.
Well, all right. Glad to know it. Let's see. What you were talking about somewhat at the end here, he said, this has always been the history of our progress. In 1933, when over half of our seniors could not support themselves and millions had seen their savings wiped away, there were those who argued that Social Security would lead to socialism. Well, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But the men and women of Congress stood fast, and we are all better for it. In 1965, when some argued that Medicare represented a government takeover of health care, members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, did not back down. They joined together so that all of us could enter our golden years with some basic peace of mind.
Not too many Republicans.
Well, he did want to make a big deal out of that because, you know, if he gets one Republican here,
right,
it's a bipartisan bill.
You were just quoting Ronald Reagan, by the way. He was the one who campaigned against it and said it was socialistic.
That's right. Yeah, they famously put out a record. So you feel, Dave Johnson, that he spoke to the concerns you had, the things that he hadn't been speaking to previously.
I very much feel that. I feel like he turned things around tonight.
Okay, we'll see.
I was a skeptic, and I'm a very happy guy tonight.
All right. Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Let me get in one quick. John in Los Angeles is not quite as happy as you. John, you got 30 seconds.
No,
what's up?
No. Hello, fellow truth seekers. I'd like to know if it's time for us to burn our health insurance cards yet. Because with all the flowery rhetoric that Barack Obama, the president, said, he still made no comment of any kind of concrete action he would take, and instead suggested that people who did go without health insurance were irresponsible. Well, quite frankly, I think it's irresponsible to have health insurance and continue paying into this system that works the way we all know it does.
All right. Thanks, John, for the call. Was he all rhetoric and no action tonight? Was he not specific enough, or was he specific enough, Dave Johnson? Uh-oh, I lost Dave. We got to call Dave back. I don't know how these phones work. Howie, was he specific enough for your taste, whether you like what he had to say or not? Was he specific enough?
Yeah, you can't get too specific on these things. You know, obviously the congressmen shouldn't all know what's in the bill, and the public only wants to know that we have a strong leader who's going to fight for what he believes in and give a brief outline of it. I think he did that well. I like the speech, believe it or not. I would, in terms of substance, obviously I would have liked to see him say something more about the public option.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, are we getting off? Yeah, we are.
Yeah, wait, no, I got to get to a break. With Dave, we're going to get Dave Johnson back. And thanks, Howie, sorry to cut you off. Brad on the Molloy Show.
Please tell me, mama, honey, when you stay last night.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by.
If you are among the hundreds of millions of Americans who already have health insurance through your job, or Medicare, or Medicaid, or the VA, nothing in this plan will require you or your employer to change the coverage or the doctor you have. What this plan will do is make the insurance you have work better for you.
Welcome back to the Mike Molloy Program. Brad in for Molloy. Howie Klein in studio for just another second or two with me here. Dave Johnson, I believe I've got him back. And sorry about that, Dave. I won't do that again.
Okay.
Dave Johnson from SeeingTheForest.com and my fellow Commonweal Institute fellow. Dave, the question that I wanted to ask you, and then I've got a comment from Steve Audio, more calls. Was Obama specific enough for you? You liked the speech. Was he specific enough in the things he laid out?
I think he laid out the broad principles, and the ones he laid out, I think, hit the notes I needed to hear. The only one I'm concerned about is what the wonks behind the scenes call affordability, which means how much people are going to have to pay for it. I mean, they're going to make you buy insurance. And then they're talking about how they're going to try to save money on this, which what that means is, though, that the insurance, instead of taxing the rich and big companies to give us something, they're going to tax us, basically, by making us buy it. So that's my concern. The public option is really important because it's the battle, it's the big battle between the corporations and the public, I think. But I really think that's behind the scenes. I think when this hits the public, when it passes And when the public has to live with it, what it's going to come down to is, what do I have to pay for this?
Let's talk Let's talk about this this mandate, because a caller earlier said that everyone's going to be mandated. They're going to have to buy into the system if they don't have insurance. Why, Howie Klein, do we have to force people to buy into this program? If they don't want insurance, why do they have to have it?
There are a lot of reasons, Brad, and I'll tell you some of them. First of all, if everyone agrees that getting rid of this whole pre-existing condition thing is important. Imagine that they'd say, okay, that's illegal. You cannot have that any longer.
Right.
What that would mean is that everybody in the world, everyone in the United States, would then say, oh, I'll just wait till I get sick. And then I'll get the insurance.
Ah.
So it's not economically feasible to get rid of pre-existing conditions, to get rid of rescission. It's not economically feasible unless everybody is part of the system. Otherwise, the only people that will be part of the system are sick people. All the healthy, especially young healthy people.
I understand. So they would say, well, I'll just buy health insurance when I need it.
When I'm sick.
Right.
Yeah.
So that you have to get them into the system to make the pool, as you say, large enough to afford to pay for the people who are sick.
Universal. That's what universal is. Now, the other side of this argument, by the way, is that the mandate without, at the minimum, a public option is just a joke. Because then what you're doing is you're giving all of these crooked, horrible insurance companies who shouldn't even exist, you're giving them all this business, and what are you getting in return? You're getting nothing. I mean, that was, for me, I overall liked Obama's speech, but the part that I hated was when he said, I don't want to put the insurance companies out of business. They have a role to play. Well, they don't have a role to play. They're a negative force, and they should be put out of business, and Obama knows it.
Lucien in Portland says the mandate is a giveaway to the insurance industry. Lucien
is right.
Maybe it is. Lucien?
Yeah, I'm
there,
here.
There you go. Now I got you. It's a giveaway to the insurance industry?
Yeah, my point is, even if we add about 80% of the uninsured, which would be about 40 million people, at a really great rate of $2,000 a person per year, you're throwing $80 billion of cash flow through the insurance industry, of which they're going to keep 20% at least.
But, Lucien, what of Howie's point that if you don't have a mandate, then nobody bothers to get health insurance until they get sick?
Again, I come back to the point, why are we giving that much more money to this industry?
So the answer is no mandates for...
It should be expanded to Medicare.
Yes.
If people are uninsured because they can't get it somewhere else, they should just give them the option to go to Medicare.
And Lucien is exactly right.
Take the private care out of the system. Lucien.
They should just make all this bill should be is just an expansion of Medicare and just have done with and stop all these game playings. A lot of this has to do with Rahm Emanuel trying to make sure that Obama would continue to be the candidate who's gotten more money in the history of the United States from Wall Street, from the medical industrial complex, and from the insurance industry.
When he said as much, he said we're going to have to rely on these guys for re-election.
That's right.
Oh, don't get me started on Rahm Emanuel. Steve Audio adds in the BradBlog.com chat room tonight. Our old friend Steve Audio, by the way, blogger, great blogger here from Los Angeles, says, "Hey Brad and Howie, considering the amount of suck that the trad mead was laying out this week, I think that's traditional media." I think the speech was pretty good, says Steve. Clearly, single payer a la French model or heavily regulated insurance a la Swiss model would be better. But truth is, we ain't going to get that soon. Dave Johnson, is that a fact? No matter how much sense single payer actually makes, we ain't going to get it anytime soon?
I don't see it happening yet. We've got a lot of things to get out of the way first. I mean, look, think about the history of this. They finally passed Medicare. And think about this. It's illegal. We are prevented by law from even paying what it costs to get into Medicare. Because, okay, they finally raised enough support to pass this Medicare, but only for people who are 65 and older, because they needed to maintain a market for these insurance companies to feed on, basically. That's why we can't get it. So extend that to now. We're fighting the same battle. They're desperately trying to find ways to keep people having to give money to these companies, and it's this it's all fogged by, you know, all kinds of arguments and everything, but it really comes down to this American division we have. Who I call it on my blog, I call it "Who is our economy for?" And here we are. This I think highlights the problem here as best as anything I've seen in a long time. This healthcare battle.
Let me before I let you go, Howie. If the idea that single payer is just can't happen right now for whatever reason, move the ball forward, can public option at this point happen? Can they get that passed, or are they going to have to go to reconciliation and do it there?
Well, I mean, hopefully reconciliation will allow them to pass single payer. Yes.
I mean, payer. You mean public option.
I'm sorry, public option. Yeah. There are 65 progressive Democrats who have signed a letter to Catherine Sebelius and a letter to Nancy Pelosi saying they will not vote for the bill without single payer, and that they will not vote for the bill through
public option, without public option.
Without, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's late.
I want single payer.
I hear you.
Yes, for the public option.
Yeah.
So those 65 Democrats, plus the Republicans who will all vote no,
right,
plus the blue dogs who are against it, there are
right,
43 of them are against it, and then there's no bill. So if he doesn't keep in single payer, there will be no bill.
You mean public option?
I mean public
if
option.
If he doesn't leave in.
You don't really want me here anymore.
You're
do
right.
You?
You're exhausted. Get out of here. Boy, so you mean there will be no bill, but if there is public option, can that pass? Is there any way that can pass without reconciliation?
What's wrong with reconciliation?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying, is that the way it's going to have to happen?
Sure.
Because it can't pass. They can't get 60 votes here, can they?
They cannot get 60 votes.
If a public option is in
Senate, to pass a bill in the Senate, you need 51 votes, not 60. 60 is this false thing that came up about automatic
right,
filibusters.
Right.
But this is a financial bill, and it could pass with reconciliation.
Yes, I love I can't remember who it was, one of the senators said, well, we shouldn't do it in reconciliation with only 51 votes, because then we have a minority bill. Huh? 51's a minority? Howie Klein from downwithtyranny.com. Thank you, sir. You are released.
Thank you.
Be on your way, my friend.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Good job as ever. Okay, let me get some more calls. And Dave Johnson is still with us from seeingtheforest.com. Well, let's see. I'm trying to find a good call here. Or someone who's been on for a really long time. All right, let's try this one. Steve in Burbank.
Hello, Brad. Hello.
How are you, sir?
I was hoping to be on last because I inadvertently always try to throw a monkey wrench into thinking processes.
Well, don't do that. You got to give. I'm going to clear these phones, get everybody in, so give it to me in 30 seconds, my friend.
Okay, Tom right-winger. Every time they say, they're not a right-winger, they are. It's proven. And he's so worried about these illegal aliens and now undocumented immigrants. Let's tone it down a little bit more and call them fellow human beings. United States citizens go to Canada. Seniors are loading up on buses to get generic medications. Everywhere over the world where Americans are, where there's decent health care, no problem. Just ride in. So everybody has to take care of us. But when they come over here to do something, oh, no, we can't have that.
Yeah, and Canada, I think, needs to build a wall to keep out the Americans. Thanks, Steve, for the call. I appreciate it. Dave Johnson, what of this? What of this deal that has supposedly been made now with the pharmaceutical companies that Obama made? You're an expert in this, the cross between corporatism and government. It sounds like a dirty deal to me, frankly, Dave.
I think it was Robert Reich, the former labor secretary, who said that was like an affront to democracy that they went ahead and did that. I think that was one of those Rahm Emanuel behind-the-scene things. He's our guy we love to hate right now, isn't he?
Well, yeah. Yes. Yes, we do. But they did this deal, didn't they?
Well, who will enforce that deal? That's what I want to know. I mean, it's a secret deal between the White House, I guess, and so is Congress bound by it? I think some members of Congress were talking about that. Are they going to asking, well, how are you going to bind me to this? So I don't know what to think about that. I think it's a terrible thing. I think we just sometimes have to live with these facts of the power of corporate money that, you know, and you know what the Supreme Court's planning right now.
With tomorrow's, or no, actually, yeah. That was today, and getting taking the restrictions away from corporations, let them give as much damn money as they want to any candidate.
Yeah, so that gets us in another direction.
Unbelievable. Oh. Yeah, it sure does. Let me take a quick break here. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy program, sitting in for Mike. We're gonna get through all these damn callers, I promise you, after this break. Much more straight ahead.
You are on the road, must have a code.
All right, finishing up with our live coverage tonight of the you can keep that playing. I like that, my friend. The president's speech tonight. I want to we got Dave Johnson on the line. We're going to fly through as many calls as we can. But I want to do my thanks here to engineer Tony Sorrentino. You put in a hell of a day, my friend. Thank you. Very well done. Producer Desi Doyen, screening calls. Ben Birch over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Of course, Agent 99 in the BradBlog.com chat room. How could I forget her? K-Talk AM 1150 for hosting us here. Of course, Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to screw up their show all week. I've enjoyed it. And for those listening, by the way, via MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned after this for Head On with Bob Kincaid. All right, Dave, you want to help me clear these phones? We're going to fly through some of these calls. Do I still have Dave Johnson? Oh, Dave. All right. When he gets back, he'll join us.
I'm back.
There you go. All right, Dave.
I don't know what happened there.
That's all right. I'm sure it was our fault. I'm going to fly through these calls here. Everyone gets about 15 to 30 seconds. You can help me out, Dave. Charles in Massachusetts, what's your question? And welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett. How you doing?
I'm hanging in.
I live in Massachusetts, and in Massachusetts, our health coverage plan is such that if you're not covered through your employer, you have to purchase private health coverage, and otherwise face a fine. And I can't afford health insurance, and it's actually cheaper to pay the fine. And I'm just wondering if either of you know if the Massachusetts plan is likely something that will be carried on to a national level.
Good. Thanks for the question, Charles. Dave?
I think that the answer is yes, and that's why we need that public option so bad, because it offers an alternative that will cost much less.
Well, all right. But it's still going to cost something, and there is going to be a mandate.
That was my point earlier. Yeah. You know, that's my big concern about this. It's called when you hear the wonks talk about it, it's called affordability. But what it really comes down to is how much money the government's going to put in to help you out.
Fair enough. Tommy in Torrance, California. Welcome to the Malloy Show. What's up?
Hey, Brent, Dave. Once all the compromises have been made, when can we reasonably expect a final vote on whatever form of reform they present us?
I figure about 2020.
I was going to say anything. I don't know if there's anything reasonable at this point. Thanks, Tommy. Yeah, Dave, we don't really know here how long this is going to take.
I thought they'd have it much sooner, and but I think the summer taught everybody a lesson that the longer you delay this, the more disruptive and in some cases violent it could get. So,
and Obama had talked about signing this before the end of the year, as I recall. I think that is about as close that we have to a timetable at this point.
Yeah, I really don't know.
All right, let's go to Nan in my old hometown of St. Louis. There we go. Hey, Nan, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, my problem with this is the public mandate, which is since 70% of Americans are covered by what's called an HMO, which is nothing more than legalized extortion, I'm going to be forced. I'm a self-employed dental professional. In 30 years, I've never had health insurance. I'm going to be forced to buy a policy that is going to be worse than what an HMO is now. And that is, it's obscene.
What, you've been, Nan, you've been 30 years without health insurance?
Yes, I've never been able to afford it.
And so, well, I think the point, though, is if you cannot afford it, you won't have to pay. Do I understand it correctly, Dave Johnson?
No, there's a fine you have to pay at tax time. If you don't have health insurance, you'll pay.
If you don't have health insurance, but what if you cannot afford it, Dave?
Yeah, well, there we go with the problem, don't we? In every country except ours, the government steps in and says, look, we're citizens of this country. We're going to get health care.
All right. So let me get to Marge in Los Angeles. So, Marge, you got 15 seconds. Go.
Okay. I've been an activist attorney for 50 years, including going before the U.S. Supreme Court when it was still a halfway decent court. And I got to tell you, listening to Obama, whom I helped elect, holding my nose and forgetting what I've learned over the last 50 years, what my feeling about the speech was is that if we could go ahead and bag it up, we could have a lot of fertilizer for the home gardens people are starting to have. The truth of the matter is there is no constitutional provision that allows the Congress to go ahead and force people to buy insurance.
Thanks for your thoughts, Marge. I got to get out because I'm running up against the clock. All right, thanks for the call.
Be a battle that gets fought. Let me add something else. When they force companies to buy insurance, you know, that's the reason that a lot of our companies have to move plants to places like Canada. Canada covers the people. Here they don't. Companies have to pay for it, so they're not competitive here.
Our friend, the very smart and wisecracking Zap Kitty, says in the Brad Blog chat room that Obama's speech did was smack the right wingers for their silly stuff, which was something he should have done weeks ago, but they do make a convenient distraction from the corporate looting. Robin, you have 10 seconds, and then I got to get out. What's your thought?
Excellent job, Brad. Talk about can't see the forest for the trees.
Thanks, Robin.
FDR did not get elected a fifth time because he was dead.
I got to go, Robin. Thanks for the call. Dave Johnson, seeingtheforest.com, commonwealinstitute.org. Thank you. Brad in for Malloy. We'll see you tomorrow night.
See ya.